Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Pacific Watch is Jeff Bliss. Fires, drought, and power shortages. Jeff, a very good evening to you. I have learned through a couple of really cool links provided by the New York Times that I can see a map of California, including the satellite imagery or not, just the roads. And that way I can follow these fires. The Beckwith fire, the Beckwith complex fire, you started talking about a couple of weeks ago. It's gigantic. Is this ordinary scale I'm looking at? Good evening, Jeff.
Good evening, John. The Beckwith complex fire is a result of several separate fires coming together as one. So you have these massive, you have these breakouts. They join up. They become a massive blaze. Puts an even bigger strain. It's a force multiplier when you have fires like this. And it also causes more resources to be brought in. So in this case, you had, I believe, three different fires joined up to an already large fire. And now it's burned over 105,000 acres, about 68% contained, which is good news, but still plenty of, plenty of acreage to go before it's burned out or gets totally put out. This is going to be a sign of fires to come in this fire season. We're already seeing other fires turning into complex fires. It's a very, very difficult time for the firefighters and the people who are trying to allot resources.
I'm learning my California geography. This is along Route 395, northwest of Reno, and it's including in the Pumas National Forest. We go to other fires that are not so well contained right now. Where is the Dixie Fire, Jeff?
The Dixie Fire is also in Pumas County. So you're up in the northern California part of the state, And that's a fire that looks to be, again, expanding. So you have the Sugar Fire, which grew out beyond 100,000 acres. That's, with Beckwith. And the Dixie Fire, which is, a smaller fire, but one that threatens to get much bigger. That's probably closer to 3,000 or 4,000 acres right now. It's one that continues to grow.
Are these areas settled? The Pumas National Forest suggests that it's not. The Tahoe National Forest, the Lassen National Forest. So is this land got settlements in between it?
There are settlements. They're not cities by any means. What you're talking about are villages and, vacation getaway places and occasionally a resort here and there that they have to worry about. There tend to be, places for timber harvesting out there, wildlife and science stations are out in these areas. So it's not totally uninhabited, but it is sparsely inhabited. Still, what we're talking about on a bigger problem is the massive damage to the land, to the watershed, and to, potential timber farming, and of course, great, beautiful areas that are national and state park areas.
There is a drought. At the same time, there is, at least from the satellite imagery, an enormous heat wave settling over the west of the United States and over California as well. But I believe the heat wave is in the north only, or is it stretched down to you in Orange County?
We do feel some heat down here, but really not from that heat dome. That portion up north has been causing a problem for some time, or similar domes to it. So it seems like it's been one continuous one. But it's been a problem for folks, particularly in Oregon, Washington, and up in Canada. Canada has experienced heat waves like never before. Matter of fact, they've set records up there that are hotter than some places in Texas have experienced in all their history.
The wildfires and the heat wave all point to the drought. Everything points to the drought. And that is the story that damages every part of the California prosperity. The drought we've watched for these last week growing from the north. I believe Marin County was the first one to issue restrictions. It spread into the Bay Area, then down to San Jose. But last we talked, Jeff, L.A. had a voluntary turndown of electricity. How does it work for you? And a voluntary turndown of water, or is it mandated?
There are two separate things there. When it comes to power, we have things like flex alerts. And so they ask you to not use your washer and dryer, not run the AC at quite the high levels that they usually do in the summer, not to plug in your electric car. They've been talking about that this week. Save it for the night overnight, and then we'll not stress the grid that way. When it comes to the water itself, they're saying, look, we need you to start cutting back on what you're doing in terms of watering your yards, washing your cars, watching how you use water throughout the day. Right now, for the most part, it's voluntary, but we are looking at mandated shortages or cutbacks in the not too distant future. The politicians have been talking about this. The water bureaus have been talking about this up and down the state. It's coming. This is not going to be able to be avoided. What we're going to be dealing with is not in terms of when we're getting it, but what we're getting, how hard and for how long, because we're talking about, 15, 20, even 30% or more if this drought keeps on going.
Yes, you report the Cambria Community Services District Board of Directors declared a stage 4 water shortage, which sounds severe, stage 4. This is San Luis Obispo County. As I recall, you said reducing your water usage 15% is a lot for people living. 40% sounds dramatic. That would be that you would, fill pitchers of water and save them for days?
It is very drastic. People really don't understand how much that cuts into their regular usage. And you don't even have to be a big water user. It takes a huge chunk out of everything from bathroom usage to cooking to washing, the whole thing. What this also does is it institutes penalties that they'll have that they're going to try to keep people down in their water usage so they don't go up to stage 5 and 6. It's like, DEFCON 5 and DEFCON 6. They're hoping to cut it down now, but they're also dealing with rental properties. Rental properties, vacation properties are very popular on the Central Coast. Cambria is up near the famous Hearst Castle, San Simeon area. So they get a lot of people in the summer, particularly out from the Central Valley, who want to escape the heat. Well, this is going to probably cut down on the ability of landlords to rent to tourists and others because they're not going to have the water that they want or they need.
The drought will continue until we change seasons. But I learned from Pacific Watch, Jeff Bliss, that La Nina is not going to provide the needed snow canopy that you need to solve the drought. What does La Nina represent? La Nina, right? La Nina. What does it represent to California?
La Nina is a cycle of weather that we get. There's El Nino and there's La Nina. The conditions that come in with this cycle of weather typically bring cool but dry winters. So this really impacts the slopes. Not only hits the ski industry, of course, but we're talking about the all-important water runoff that we get from the mountains that all of California depends on. So much of California either overuses for, what they have in terms of population, or they live in a very arid climate, much like Southern California, Los Angeles, Orange County. So they need to import a lot of water or bring it from other parts of the state. So when it's a very dry winter, that spells trouble. It means water shortages. So that's not only are we having a drought now, but we're looking at a very difficult time ahead of us as this weather cycle takes hold.
Now to power. The quote that I have from the San Diego Union Tribune, thanks to you, Pacific Watch, the days when people couldn't pay attention to their electricity supply are over. What is this promise? Is this immediate or is this long term that you're going to pay more for power and you're going to have, what do you call it, flex alerts?
We're already in that place. We're already having the flex alerts. We're already seeing the price of energy go up throughout the state. So what's coming to now is it's not just the top-down type of management of this power from the companies and from the regulators. But the consumers themselves are starting to say, I better get on top of this for my own sake so I don't get, run into the poorhouse just by running my TV and my AC. They're looking for other ways to create or to store energy, and that includes good old solar, and some people even talk about wind when they have enough land to have wind power.
So what we're looking at is a permanent power shortage in California for the balance of the summer. Is that a fair conclusion?
I think not just for the summer. I think when you say a permanent problem, I think this is a problem that's going to stick around long after the drought, long after all these things, because California has really not done a good job at working with its grid, getting it fixed, making it work for the population it has. And so it's caught up to us. It's one of those things. You can pay me now or pay me later.
Right.
And we're paying now.
Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.